Just trying to improve, you know, trying to end the season a way the seniors can be proud of. I think nobody's happy with the way it's gone these last few weeks, but effort's been good. We just had to clean up a lot of the execution and shore up some positions before we get out there.
You can't feel the heat until you hold your hand over the flame. You have to cross the line just to remember where it lays. You won't know your worth now, son, until you take a hit. And you won't find the beat until you lose yourself in it. That's why we won't.
It's senior day coming up on Saturday. We'll be saying adieu to the 2015 class of seniors. That includes some of our favorites like Jakeem Grant and DeAndre Washington. We're going to do a little tribute today on the podcast, on the preview podcast. And for those of you that listening, this is the Air Raid Preview Podcast brought to you by the writing staff of VivaTheMatadors.com. I have Jonathan with me. Say hi, Jonathan.
Hey there, Ryan. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for this weekend.
Definitely.
We've got K-State come to town. As Hunter calls them, we've got the necromancer come to town. But before we get all to all that, let's talk about some of these seniors and what they've meant to this university. I have very much a feeling that we're going to have at least another month and a half of talking about Tech football becoming bowl eligible and going to our bowl. But this is on Saturday, it is senior day, so last home game, it's a very big deal. We have a list here of seniors. Who are some of the guys in your mind that have meant the most to Texas Tech over their time?
Well, when you look at this class of seniors, you've got a lot of guys that stuck through the coaching change. You got a lot of guys that were here when that other guy was here, and now they stayed with the program. That to me, that means a lot. The commitment level in the day and age of flip flopping recruitments and all of that kind of mess, both in you could say in professional and the college level. But on the field, the guy that really stands out to me. Maybe not the most noticeable at all times, especially this year, but really last year was Pete Robertson. All the stuff that he was able to do last year, completely different role, different kind of offense this year. But to lead the Big 12 in sacks last year, I believe he had 12 sacks last year. So that's one a game on a defense that didn't do so well last year, to put it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
He was a monster last year. He looks cool. He's got the cool face paint. Kind of brings back a little bit of the tradition that the 2008 team had.
Yes.
Just not near what the 08 team had. But just that passion he had on the field. He was a real leader for the team. He is a real leader for the team. He's still playing. And it's just good to see some kid like that have a good career here at Tech, even if his role this year has been a little bit different than what we were used to seeing in the past. But that comes with the change in the coaches.
Yeah, and I think a lot of those players were saying, thank God that the coaching change happened. You know, if you're Jakeem Grant as a sophomore or DeAndre coming back from knee injury, you've got to be pumped. I mean, having Kingsbury come in here.
Right.
So, I mean, that makes it really easy to stick around. I'm going to go with someone that's kind of unheralded. He's often overlooked until something goes wrong, but from all accounts, I've heard he's one of the best out there, and we really need to have another one. It's David Brenner, the long snapper.
Definitely.
And, and what he's done over the last couple of years of making it a non-issue. You know, he's one of those guys, especially on special teams, where he's doing his job if you don't know who he is.
Definitely.
The only time you hear them is when something goes terribly wrong. And with, you know, those types of plays where the snap has to be good and the hold needs to be good, a lot of times we're only talking about the hold, we're only talking about the kick. But there's so much that has to happen before that, before it even gets to that point, for Buston to make some of those big-time kicks. I know he had a big one. I think Brenner was still the long – I mean, was starting at that point. But, you know, you go back to a game-winning kick against Minnesota in the bowl game after Tuberville left.
Right.
You know, so much has to happen before the kick actually takes place that has to go right, and sometimes we kind of take that for granted. So, yeah, I've got David Brenner. I think J.J. Gaines has come a long way. I'm going to be sad to see him go a little bit. And, you know, Micah Alway, who's kind of just put in his time as a backup, really kind of came onto the scene because of some injuries and some other things going on last year, and has finally earned a starting role this year. And that's a big deal.
Yeah, he's been a really, really a big rock for that that group right there. And he's, again, someone who you don't notice a lot, except when they when a tackle may be missed. But it's always good to have him there. This year he's been a great person to be there for the goal line defense. Our red zone defense has improved a lot this year. And I think he's one of the big reasons for that.
Absolutely. It's you wouldn't believe it from some of the fans out there, but I think he has meant a lot to that front seven as it stands right now. And he's been an absolute joy to kind of be up there during the press conferences as a player, kind of answering for the defensive woes and doing it in a very respectful and professional way. It was funny. I was talking, I wasn't talking to. There was a tweet by Todrick Gotcher, who plays basketball, and he was like, "I can play basketball in front of thousands of fans, but I get nervous as crap when I speak in front of 20 people in class. I can't do a presentation in front of 20 people." And yet, Mike is up there all the time, almost every Monday, it seems like, saying, "You know, it's my fault. It's never had a problem with run defense before. Yeah, I've got to get better." You know, just doing it in a real, I think, wise beyond his years and how he's handling this. And that's the stuff that makes you excited for him as a player and how he's representing your school.
Right. And I know Cliff has said a couple times this week he's enjoyed watching these kids grow up from when he came in. It'll be almost 3 years now.
Yes.
And just watching how they were sophomores when he came in, and just seeing how they've changed, how they've matured. You look at some of the guys like DeAndre Washington and Jakeem mm-hmm. Grant, who they've gone from good players to now they're in the Tech record books players.
Yeah, they're going to be the up there with the Crabtrees and Harrells as far as legends for this program.
Right. And to have those guys speak at that press conference, and it looks like they feel in place. They feel like they should belong there, unless you're going to ask DeAndre kind of a clown question.
Yeah.
Oh, like we had so a few funny. Weeks ago.
Yeah, that was so funny. Oh, my goodness. I feel bad for Cliff, and I know he probably feels horrible. He cares so much for these guys. He's kind of taken it as a mentorship role more than anything. And, you know, when he came on scene in 2013, he had a bunch of these young guys. DeAndre coming off a leg, a knee issue. Jakeem Grant was a sophomore that year. And all these guys were pretty much sophomores. And to go 7-0 to start and kind of have all these guys buying in and really excited, and kind of the direction since then, a lot of it is on the players, a lot of it's on Cliff, but I bet at some level Cliff feels like he let them down just a little bit. He knows that there are problems with the program. He knows that there are things that need to be fixed that only can be fixed through time in recruiting and kind of implementing some things, but to see DeAndre go out there and every week just, I mean, people talk about Oklahoma's running backs as being tough to bring down. DeAndre, when he goes beast mode, he's hard to bring down. With Jakeem Grant running 500 yards for 90 yards, you know, just fighting every chance he can get for yardage. You know, it's got to be hard to kind of lose some of these close games, and you can kind of see it wearing on Kingsbury just a little bit, not getting more wins for these guys.
Right, and they have done so much. And the one guy that we haven't mentioned yet that's probably going to be the highest of the any kind of draft pick we have this year in the NFL is LeRaven.
Yes.
Just the number of games that he has started and the year that he's had, all the vines that went out of him absolutely de-cleating Sean Oakman.
The Abinator.
Yes, the Abinator, fantastic defensive end from that great university down in Waco. He's been just fantastic this year. He's really led that offensive line. And I know some of the draft projections don't have him going until the second or third round. But I believe he's been all Big 12 for the past couple of years and pretty much every report that's come out. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here. We've got a couple of offensive linemen in the NFL right now with Ramirez and Vasquez.
Fortenberry.
Waddell, yeah. So maybe he can join some of those guys, and if not, I'm sure he'll have a great next phase of his life.
Yeah, and, you know, going even further than that to some of the guys that may not have been on every stat sheet, maybe been under the radar, we have, some of the other offensive linemen who have just started the last 3 years and just gone about their business. We go from the Morales twins to Jared Caster, and even down to one of my favorites who kind of came on the scene a couple years ago, 2013. Yeah, the walk-on John White, who had gotten a lot of praise, especially for his work on special teams, and even filling in last year at safety when we were having some defensive back injuries and playing pretty well, especially in that Iowa State game. Those types of stories are feel-good stories. The guys that put in their work and are here for 3 or 4 years, and you may not know exactly – they're not a household name, but they're definitely an integral part of this program.
Right, and one of the Morales brothers, I believe it was Tony, just kept having injury after injury his
yes.
career.
Yes.
And then finally this year, his last season, he's able to start with his twin brother. So that's just one of those feel good stories, but just awesome to be able to see the Moraleses out there. And I'm sure their family has been the highlight of their lives right now.
Yes. And we definitely hope that the Jones is packed. It's a 2:30 start, which I know a lot of students will be just waking up shortly there before, but we hope it's packed. Send these seniors off right. They're going to be hopefully playing their heart out. But Mayfield is not on the field to just throw a pick and just let somebody go right by him without even trying.
He nodded his head at that guy.
He said, "Good catch. You got my respect." I threw that ball hard, and you caught it. Props, man.
And also this week is the Celebrate America, with Veterans Day being today on Wednesday.
I know that means special uniforms.
We might see the camo come back. I know there's been a lot of high praise for that uniform.
The 2011 version.
Right, yeah.
I could not stand the tan 2010 version.
Right. That version, though, I did see the good version. I saw quite a few people at the game when I was there for the Oak State game had those jerseys. They were wearing them.
Yes. I actually, right after that game, I actually did the tech auctions and tried to get one. And if you don't know about that, Anytime Texas Tech has a special uniform, whether it's the Never Quit jerseys or the Wounded Warrior jerseys, I think even the Lone Star Pride jerseys, they do an auction shortly thereafter that anybody can partake in. And there are some jerseys that go for high money, especially the skill player numbers. And there's also some that don't go for a whole lot of money that are just kind of random, you know, numbers. So if they come out with new jerseys this week, they're not keeping them. They will sell them, and you can go and have your piece of Texas Tech program tradition and hang it up on your wall or something. I didn't get mine, but I did find one later, and I did get that one. But they're cool things to have, especially they really are.
Yeah, I'm sure that a replica jersey will come out if we do have something special.
Replica. Go authentic. Go authentic.
Well, if you don't have the money to go authentic, then get yourself a replica.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny because some of the replicas are so expensive just because it's Under Armour. You can go to any type of store there in Lubbock or online, and you can get a replica jersey of our normal jerseys, which I still love. I think they're the best looking jerseys we've had so far. But they're, you know, $75.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it right, you can get authentic for less than that. It just may take a little bit longer. So
right.
Just keep an eye out for the auctions. I think it's Texas Tech CSTV.com auctions or something like that. I think they're joined with CBS auctions. You can do a search for it, but I would invite everybody to go out there, and if you have the money, it goes back to Tech and you know, for boosters or whatnot, and you get a piece of Texas Tech lore. So that'll be cool. I am really interested to see what they come up with. I hate to say it, but I really love the Never Quit helmets.
Okay.
I wasn't so much a fan of the actual uniform, but for an alternate helmet, I know it looks a lot like Oregon, but I love the double T on the back, and I love that it was a kind of a red helmet, even if it was a little bit dark. It wasn't the scarlet, it was more of had a little bit more purple in it. But
right, yeah.
I still like the look of them.
Well, we can agree to disagree on that.
Finally. See, I thought maybe that would get us off the same page. And I'm actually, I think you mentioned this in Slack, that you're going to take a little bit of a break from the pods, because I know it's not easy to be with me twice a week.
We'll see what the schedule's like.
Okay, because I'm gonna miss you. I might just be here talking to myself, and we might go from four listeners to zero listeners if that happens. So,
speaking of the listeners, I do want to thank the couple of guys that commented on our last podcast. Let us know that you're listening to it, so we don't think that we're just putting this out there for nobody.
It's great. We definitely want more feedback, questions. We want to answer questions that you guys have and talk about them. It's a great topic, you know, just topic creation that we can go and sink our teeth into. But it is really good to hear that and to get some feedback. Absolutely. Okay, so we love our seniors. We're excited for the future. We thank all of them, even the ones who are leaving us, but we didn't get to mention there's a lot of you. We thank you for your service to the university. We thank you for playing your hearts out. We wish the best of luck to you, and we do have three more games, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun these last three games. And yes, I'm including the bowl game on that. But we do have to move on. Let's talk. Last week we were talking about doing some tweets, like the, I don't know what they do on late night, the mean tweets. But this isn't mean tweets, it's just player tweets. And I'm going to let you start, Jonathan, since you have a few. But let's do this, and before we move on to anything else.
Yeah, I'm going to start with something that Nigel Bethel put on Instagram, and it was a picture of one of his almost picks against West Virginia, and he said, "Still mad about yesterday's game. If I catch this ball, it's a pick six, and we win the game. Shit hurt."
Yeah, and I thought he had it.
I did too.
I think he just I don't know if he didn't hang on to it hard enough. He thought it was, you know, the wide receiver wasn't going to fight him for it. But I think he just saw the end zone so quick that he just kind of didn't grab it. But yeah, even after the tackle, because the guy got away, ran down the field. And even after the tackle, you can see him at the top of the screen do high steps. He's so upset. He's like, oh, yes. My gosh, I should have had that.
He's one of those guys who he plays his heart out, and he puts it all on the field. He's a fantastic athlete and just a really good corner. He's been fantastic in deep coverage this year, and I only look to see him do even better the rest of this year and next year.
Absolutely. I'm excited for Nigel. And, you know, a lot of stuff is, I mean, it was just a steal to get him from Florida, which Tech doesn't have a huge recruiting pipeline from there. But I was excited to hear that we got him last year. So yeah. I'm excited for that. Who else you got?
I got something from Jashawn. I got a couple things from him. The first one was after the game. Congrats to my boy D-Wash on back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. Hashtag true baller. And then DeAndre replied back to him with hashtag respect you next up. So kind of a pass in the torch, even though it's different positions, different kind of players. But that's DeAndre telling Jashawn that this is your team.
Awesome.
And it's your responsibility. It's the handing of the torch. And go get him.
Awesome. Love hearing that stuff.
Yeah, too many times, especially there was a lot of that down at UT this at the beginning of this year. You see such disconnect between the upperclassmen and the newer guys.
Yeah, that's one thing you don't have at Tech. I mean, Tech is a family from top to bottom. I mean, I know your boy Quan Shorts is just nipping.
Oh, he's ready.
He's take the red shirt off me. Take the red shirt off me. He tweeted out a couple of days ago, it's almost my time, man, I swear.
Yes.
I
don't know if he was talking about football, but I have a feeling it was.
I think it was. I think it was. And hey, maybe not, because shortly thereafter, I think it was the next day, it was, I just want Wingstop. It could all be so simple. So maybe it was just, it's almost time to get Wingstop.
Yep.
But I think he's just nipping at the, just can't wait to get out there.
Yeah, it'd be real, real interesting to see how we use him next year.
Yes. So who else you got?
I got one more thing from Jashawn. Okay. And he put that up this morning, or I guess this afternoon, sometime around noon. I know that's when the that windstorm, that cold front that we got here in Dallas this afternoon hit. And he said, I got to gain some weight, this wind tossing me around.
Oh, that's funny.
So I don't know if that's the first time that he's really experienced some of that Lubbock wind. being on campus, this should be his second year on campus, so... it's funny because that's one thing that a lot of people were knocking on him. He's not your prototypical safety.
No, yeah, I think he actually came through as a cornerback.
Yes, he actually started last year as a true freshman as a corner, and then either had a torn shoulder or separated shoulder, and got a medical red shirt for it because he only played, awesome, I think, 2 years. Or not 2 years, 2 games, and had season-ending surgery. And then when Gibbs came in, he's like, yeah, you're not a corner anymore. You're safety. And by the way, you're starting.
Yeah, it may just be because he plays center field so well.
Right, and that was the big thing. And Cliff has even said it multiple times this year, is when he was in high school, they just kind of put him out in the middle of the field and he just watched for the ball. He is such a ball hawk.
Yes.
And so just playing at that safety spot is really, really helping him.
And not only does he go after the ball just seems to find him.
Right.
I remember, you know, that Tevin Madison forced fumble against Oklahoma, and it just kind of bounced right to him, and he was just like, thanks.
Yeah, and it wasn't one of those where you try and fall on it. It just popped right into his hands.
Yeah.
He took off running.
Yeah. And, you know, that OSU targeting. I mean, he just saw that from the get-go. It's a great player. I'm glad we have three more years of him. It's very exciting. Did you have anybody else?
I've got one thing from Pat, and it was today.
Okay.
Which I think I've got a couple things from Pat. One was, he put this on Instagram, not a better feeling in the world. Last time in the Jones this year, let's make it count. Hashtag protect the Jones. So I hope to see a little bit of that that swag. So get to see some flexing this week and watch the offense put on a show.
Yeah, it's funny. Our offense has really struggled the three out of the last four games, but they've all been on the road. And I guess the Lubbock really does cure all, because when we come home, it seems to kind of get our guys into a rhythm, get them into a routine, and they're able to go out and play a lot better on offense. And you know, last week they did start Kiki QT and I think Tony Brown on the outside.
Right.
And they got a lot of balls into their chest. They weren't catching them with their hands. And, you know, there's a lot of pressing there with the young guys, true freshmen trying to make a statement and trying to find their place on the field, and especially on the road in a place like Morgantown, you're gonna have that. But I know some people were asking who the coach was for the receivers, and it's actually a really good one. with Darren Shiverini,
right?
He retired NFL wide receiver, and he does the special teams and the outside wide receivers, and I think he's fantastic. So,
and he's our connection to California too, correct?
I'm not sure on that, but I'll take your word for it.
I seem to remember him being our connection to California. We're starting to get a couple guys, a JUCO, Riverside, I think.
Okay,
is his pipeline, and we've gotten a couple guys from there. Speaking of JUCO. Daquan Bowman, who is he's JUCO right now, but he's a commit to Tech. I guess they just made their announcements, and he got first team all conference wide receiver, first team all conference returner, first team all region wide receiver, and first team all region returner.
Wow.
And then Pat tells him, congrats, bro. And then Daquan responds back, appreciate that. Keep balling. I see you. So a little bit of communication between a couple of future teammates there.
Awesome. It's always good to hear about, the connection that some of the guys that are there on the team right now have with some of the guys that are incoming, because you know there's a big recruit when they come and they do their visits. There's a big recruiting deal with current players putting in their time to hang out, show them around the facility, and spend time with some of those recruits. I know there was a picture of Davis Webb with Jack Anderson during one of his visits, and you know there's a bunch more players in there just kind of getting a feel for the team and the guys that they're going to be playing with next year, and I think that's fantastic. So I always hear those stories.
I know Jet Duffy and TJ Vasher communicate quite often on social media, and with TJ up in Wichita Falls and Jet down here in Mansfield. Not exactly easy. You're not going to see each other very often, but that's the good thing about social media now is those guys can connect and be able to talk to each other. And they're actually going to be playing this week, both in the DFW area. Jet and his 10-0 Lake Ridge team are probably going to destroy Dallas Samuel, because I think they're 4-6. I think Lake Ridge was ranked number 4 or 5A team in the state. So looking for a good playoff run from Jet. But they're playing at the Grand Prairie Stadium.
Okay.
And then TJ Vasher and Rider High, they're playing in Fort Worth against Fort Worth Dunbar. So both Friday night games. So if anybody has some time, wants to go check those guys out, feel free. Go for it.
Absolutely. And I think on the recap pod a couple days ago, you were talking about Vasher's measurables. How tall is he again?
6'5".
Okay.
He's 6'5". I think he's 180.
He'll put on weight. He'll be around 200 by the time he gets to campus, or this time next year probably.
And his wide receivers coach, you might recognize his name. His name is Eric Ward.
Oh, yeah,
that name might ring a bell.
I think he caught a few passes at Tech at one point, you know. I think he wore like 18 or something like that.
That sounds right.
Yes. Yeah. You know, he was one of those guys. Good.
And some of the recruiting stories that came out for TJ, Eric has basically been recruiting him his whole life, even though he didn't realize it. Cause when Eric was playing for Rider High, TJ was the ball boy.
Oh, really?
And he started looking up to him then, and it looks like it's going to follow him all the way to Lubbock.
You know, it's a phenomenal thing when you have players who have been through so much at Tech, and to leave Tech and the program, go on and do other things, and yet still hold Tech in such high regard to want to send other players to Tech.
Right.
You know, even from Tremaine's standpoint, who played with Eric, who didn't quite have the ending of his career go the way he wants to, from talking to him, he wouldn't hesitate if he had any type of say in another receiver of, you know, coming up and say, hey, where should I go? He'd be like, Texas Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Because he still loves Texas Tech, even though it didn't go his way. And you know, Ward went through the Tuberville eras to the first year of Kingsbury's era, and you know, still loves the university. And I think that's, we hear that from Kingsbury a lot about, you know, coaches change and all that stuff, but you gotta come for the university, and the university is gonna be there regardless of who the coach is.
Yeah, definitely. Let's look at Vasher's stats this year. See, 52 catches for 1,000 yards and 7 scores.
That's not bad. I mean, it's okay.
Averaging almost 20 yards a catch.
I was expecting more. I mean, honestly, you would think. I mean, what is he? Is he out there just kind of jogging routes? I mean,
probably. They probably use him on a lot of screens. He's an outside receiver.
Oh, yeah. Those guys. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. It says 190, so he's a little bit bigger than I thought.
Okay.
So he'll still fill out.
Good. I'm excited for TJ, especially after JF Thomas kind of fell through.
Right.
And I'm not sure if we're going to be – because nothing has been talked about that, because I know he went to a JUCO. And, like, right. Lauderdale – was recruited by Tech, didn't have something right, went to JUCO, and then was recruited again that very next year and actually came to Tech.
Right.
So I didn't know if that was still a possibility, but it doesn't look like it. So I don't know if it was just academics or if something else happened.
Yeah, I'm not sure what happened with that.
Okay.
But that's all the player tweets that I've got.
Okay. Well, we're going to expand on that, especially when we get a couple of good ones in the future. We had some last week that were pretty funny, but anytime there's funny tweets, I was laughing, but you just never know if the player is going to like that or not, unfortunately. Like Q's was hilarious to me, but you know, his account is locked and he may not want that spouted everywhere, so we kept that off the air and I'm not going to say it again. But we'll keep expanding on it. I love this aspect of social media where you do have some insight into what players are going through, and hopefully we can do more of that going forward. But let's get to the third and final thing. We're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk KSU preview, and we'll break down the numbers and come right back.
Sounds good.
Texas Tech University. Consistently named a military-friendly school by GI Jobs magazine. Nearly 400 veteran faculty and staff from every branch of the military. More than 1,000 veteran students. It's time we take the next step to stand behind our veterans. I'm Walter Huffman, retired U.S. Army Major General and current Dean Emeritus and Professor at the Texas Tech School of Law. Texas Tech University has pledged our support to the Got Your Six campaign. In the military, Got Your Six means I've got your back. Texas Tech University, we got your six.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your dedication.
Thank you for your commitment.
Thank you for your courage.
Thank you for your service.
From all of us here at Texas Tech Football, thank you so much, veterans, for all your sacrifices, your service to our country, and all the freedoms you've provided us.
Okay, so we are talking KSU now. We have a big matchup with them. They are, I don't know, our last two conference games are kind of an enigma. You just never know how they're going to come out and play. There are days where we're like, yeah, that's a win, and there are other days where we go, it's kind of iffy. I'm not too sure. And case in point, Kansas State taking Baylor pretty much to the wire and losing by seven, which makes you scratch your head a little bit. Is there anything that jumps off, before we get deep into it, is there anything that jumps off the page at you about Kansas State and what they bring to the table?
Their leading passer is also their leading rusher.
Is he still the wide receiver that's had to play?
Joe Huebner?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, he is listed as their leading passer. Cody Cook has maybe one game of experience, it looks like, this year. But yeah, he's got 1,100 passing yards and leading the team with 400 rushing yards for the year.
Okay. Yeah, the offensive stats for Kansas State aren't that impressive. Especially when you listen to most fans, it'll probably look a lot more impressive after this week. But they're 115th in passing yards with 159. They're 72nd in the country with rushing yards at 169. They're 56th in points for 30, and they are 85th in points against at 29. So all across the board, they are right in the middle, or very balanced at least, with what they bring to the table. And you know, it's that doesn't really strike fear into me at all.
No, especially at the Jones. Weird things happen at the Little Apple up in Manhattan. And I think Baylor may have gotten caught off guard on that. And that was a Thursday game too, correct?
It was. And Kansas State had that little pseudo bye week.
That's right. Before. They had 10 days to prepare.
And Baylor, that was Stidham's first start. So
correct.
Even though he statistically played well, who knows how many plays got away from him because he's not up to speed yet.
And I'm looking at something right here, and then their quarterback, he believes that they have the chance to win out. They do have Tech this week, and then they've got Iowa State and Kansas, and then they finish off with West Virginia. So they've gotten all their hard games out of the way.
Is it just me, or is it so weird that Tech is on its 11th game and every other single Big 12 team has only played 9?
Yep. Yep.
Unless you're West Virginia that's played 8.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, Kansas State has technically played 8 as well.
Yeah, they're 3-5 right now.
It's just like, really?
Yeah, it's unfortunate, and I don't know how much of that has to do with the rule on campus in Lubbock about how there can be no sporting events during finals week.
Yeah, I heard about that during Monday's press conference. Go into a little bit further about that in case people don't know what that is.
I'm not sure for how long it's been around. But from what I've understood about it is that during finals week or weeks, there are no organized sporting events. So the students, both athletes and non-athletes, can focus 100% on finals, because we know that's what college kids do.
Oh, absolutely.
they are 100% focused on their test. You studied. And then sometimes you went to sleep, but usually you just studied.
Yeah, you just lay down there. I always went to the third or fourth floor in the stacks, and I would go to the southwest or northwest corner and just find a small little bench and just take a nap, wake up, study. That's all I did. Yeah, just...
You lay your head on that book, and you gain knowledge by osmosis.
That's right.
Apparently this rule that's – I don't know if any other campuses have it, any other schools, but that pretty much dictates when our bye week is. It's unfortunate. We can't play any games in December, really. And so I don't know if the conference has to work around that or if the university has to work around that with the scheduling. But I, like you said, I know Cliff spoke about it in the presser on Monday. About that possibly changing, and I think it was kind of a, we'll take a look at it. Probably not a Cliff decision, probably a Kirby or maybe even Robert Duncan decision.
Yeah. So in the era of a 12-team Big 12 and a conference title, and this rule was in place, and say we win the Big 12 South outright and we're going to – is it away games too? Is it completely anything? How would we play that in December?
I don't know.
Is it forfeit. Y'all take it. We got finals.
Study.
Yeah, we got finals. We got to be in the stacks.
I'm not sure how that worked out. But I do know that all the sports do take a break during those 2 weeks in December.
Okay. Well, I mean, you have West Virginia playing Kansas State on the 5th of December.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that lifted. I don't think it's going to make a huge measurable impact on students' lives that they get to go and hang out at a game for a couple hours. I know it does the student athletes, but, you know, they fight through midterms, which, depending on who your professor is sometimes harder than the final.
Exactly, yeah.
So maybe that's what happened, against Kansas.
It's possible.
But, yeah, getting back to the Kansas State preview, they really are an up-and-down team. You have them win 39-33 against La Tech, Louisiana Tech. They come back the next week and lose to Oklahoma State, who is now a very impressive Oklahoma State.
A close loss to Oklahoma State.
Yeah, 36-34.
In Stillwater.
The very next week, they lose by 7 to TCU, 52-45. Then they go the next week and lay in – again, I say next week. I'm used to having no byes here, so forgive me if a listener is saying, oh, no, there's a bye in there. Let's just go game to game. The very next game, they face Oklahoma at home and just lay an egg 55-0. The next week, they lose 23-9 against Texas. And then they come back against Baylor and lose by 7 again, 31-24.
And that was a game that Baylor had a pretty big lead in the beginning, if I remember right.
Yeah, so I just don't know which, much like Texas Tech's offense right now, which although we expect it to be back to the Joneses standards, 3 out of the last 4 games has been rough, so we don't know which Mahomes is going to show up or which offense is going to show up. I don't know which Kansas State team are we going to get. Are we going to get the 55-0 lay an egg and just roll over Kansas State, or are we going to get the take the 3 best teams in the conference to their limit?
Right, and they did well against Baylor because they stuck with the run, and Baylor had problems with that.
You mean Oakman could not stop the run?
They must have been going to the other side every time.
Oh, Billings. Oh, my goodness. I thought he was better than Oakman.
He's probably hurt.
Maybe they went straight up the middle.
Oh,
they just
maybe.
Split him.
Maybe. That must have been what it was. They were probably in power eye the whole game as well.
I wonder if Bryles thought about moving the space station back to defensive tackle.
I don't know. You got to have him in there so he can get the Peisman Award.
Enough about Baylor. Screw Baylor.
Yeah. So I know that they're going to try and do that again. They're going to try and stick with the run because against this defense, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And, you know, if I'm Gibbs, I know there may be a clash of coaching styles with Mike Smith, but if I'm going to be honest, I think both can learn a lot from each other and have some sort of 50-50 break between bringing the house and dropping back. One thing that makes Oklahoma's defense such a pain to play against is they mix up their coverages a lot. They do a lot of zone blitzing. They do a lot of show blitz and drop off. They show a lot of dropping off and then blitzing, and they blitz from weird places on the field. So you never really know where pressure is coming from at any given time. And one thing that Mike Smith did last year, it worked out well sometimes, it didn't work out so well the other times, was we're going to put the burden of proof on their offense.
Right.
We're going to bring the house and make them make a perfect throw off their back foot, and hopefully our, you know, if they run under it, they run under it, but we're going to put them on making the play, not just kind of letting them make the play. And Gibbs seems more about just kind of hoping that they don't find the right spot in the zone and kind of
letting the play come to us.
Yeah, and it seems to work okay first and second downs, but there are way too many third and forevers that they're converting.
Right.
I mean, good night. Third and 14 or third and 18 against West Virginia last week that they converted, and like the next play they ran it in for a touchdown.
Yep.
You had a third and forever against Oklahoma State that they converted. You go all the way back to TCU at the end of the half where it was third and 20-something, third and 30 almost, and they converted that, and two plays later got a touchdown going into halftime. You got to get off the field.
Right.
Third and long, you have to get off the field somehow, some way. And if that means, hey, Mike, what do you got dialed up for this one? Work together.
Yeah, and last home game against Oklahoma State, the rush defense was actually pretty good.
It was.
Other than that one long run, I think we gave up under, I want to say under 200 if you take away that the long 64-yard.
Yeah, they were under 100 until that.
Okay.
I think they only had like 84 yards rushing up until that point. And obviously a 75-yard run is going to turn it the wrong way pretty quick.
Right, it's going to skew that average way to one side. But if we can do that again, if we can have a strong run defense at the beginning of the game, if the offense can click again, like they did in that Oklahoma State game. And that was the first time since Arkansas, really the only time since Arkansas, in that first quarter that the offense and defense seemed to be feeding off each other and working together. And I think we're going to need to see that again this week.
Okay. I completely agree. If you're the defensive coordinator for Tech going into this game, knowing that the majority of their offense is running, whether it's a handoff or the quarterback, I think he ran for 153 yards against Baylor last week. Do you not just sit there and say, okay, if you're going to beat us, it's going to be in the air?
Oh, yeah, because
I'm going to sit there and I'm going to load the box, play man on the outside, and say, you'll win, that's fine. If you win, that's fine, but you're going to beat us through the air, because I bet on my ball hawk, Deshaun Johnson, my corner, Nigel Bethel, and I bet on them more than I do against your fly-by-night quarterback.
Right, and they don't have many receiving yards either. They don't have a single player with more than 278 for the year.
Yeah, I mean, Huberner's numbers are not impressive. He's completing 47% of his passes. He's averaging 6.7 yards per attempt. And he's touchdown to interceptions is 6-6.
Right.
I mean, I would say, yeah, there's 8 in the box.
Yeah, and I think you want to use Pete. Like we spoke about earlier, what he did last year. Let him pressure the quarterback.
Yeah, I don't want to see Pete on one side. I want him moving every single gap, every single play.
Right. Make the guy who's not been trained as a quarterback frustrated, confused.
Yes.
Like you said, Oklahoma does do the show a blitz and then back off.
Yeah.
Let them try and get confused with what your defense is going to do. Play it simple, but play it crazy. Seems a little weird to say that.
Crazy is simple.
Yes.
I mean, at this point, you're going to sit there and you're going to go to your secondary and you're going to be like, all right, guys, this is on y'all. We're going to just have it be man on man. Let's see how good you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're going to put at least 8 in the box the entire game. And we're going to put the onus on them throwing the football and beating us that way, because I don't think they can do it. And if they do it, I'm going to tip my cap to them and I'm going to say, what the heck happened on the backside? But I guarantee you, our strength, and people won't believe this, people are going to go, he is crazy. Our strength as a defense, and there aren't many, is pass defense.
Definitely.
You throw the ball at your own peril, because you may complete it, you may get a deep pass, you may get all that, but the turnovers come when you throw the football.
Right, and that's when people like Braden Fajoco get interceptions.
That's right. I mean, you just never know where he's going to be on the field. He's, you know, we call Deshaun Johnson a ball hawk, but I've never seen him quite lay out like Fajoco did. I mean, my goodness.
You don't see defensive backs do that, let alone defensive linemen.
Yeah. Well, the reason why defensive backs don't do it is they're afraid they're going to be called for targeting in case they hit somebody.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just, that's the onus right there. So, kind of flipping that, they do have a very disciplined defense. If you are Cliff Kingsbury, how do you attack this defense? Are you going the West Virginia game plan with a lot of run options and screens, or are you going more of the TCU route where you're throwing the ball down the field?
You have to attack what they're giving you. I think that we can do some damage on the outside. I think there was probably a lot of emphasis on that this week with what our outside receivers weren't doing. All the drop passes, I'm sure, were very, very annoying to our receivers coaches and to Cliff. And it's got to be bad for Mahomes, too, because he put the ball there quite a few times.
He did.
And it just wasn't caught. And so I think we're going to see a little bit more down the field passing, but I do believe that it is going to be dependent on what Kansas State gives us.
Okay.
I don't want us to try and force something if it's not there. All the screens that we were trying last week against West Virginia that kept getting blown up by their impressive group of linebackers, I didn't like to see that. And if we try something and it's not working, we have enough weapons, enough different weapons that we can change up how we're calling plays. So I want to see kind of a dynamic offense in the play calling, change stuff up, use DeAndre. You know he's going to be gunning for another 100-yard game with the last one at the Jones.
Absolutely.
And I would be very surprised if we don't see a big return from Jakeem at some point.
He did call for three.
Yep.
He said in the preseason he's going to be very surprised if he doesn't get three kick returns, and he's got two.
Yep.
So, yeah. I just don't think – since Bill Snyder's been back, and I'm taking out our blowout of them his first year back in 2009, but since then – his front seven has been very disciplined, and I just don't see our screens working against this front. I think we do need to get the ball to DeAndre as much as possible, and I would even like to see that translate in some Torian Henderson direction, where Torian's leading us in receptions.
Yeah.
Not just rushing yards. I want to know where the middle screen is gone, the little shovel pass.
Yeah.
Where it's a little, you drop back to pass. DeAndre kind of cuts at the middle. They let the pocket surround, kind of, get depth on him. And then he just shovels it to DeAndre, and DeAndre takes off for 15, 20 yards. I mean, that was bread and butter for Tech. And I think that's the main problem that I had against West Virginia. It seemed like there was way too many east and west plays, not enough north and south.
We had
too long to develop on the outside.
Yeah, we had a hard time getting up the field. We had no problem getting across the field.
Yes. which is fine for West Virginia. Like, okay. Do that
we'll
all day.
We'll let you go 0 yards every play.
Yeah, so... I do want to see that, and I do want – this is going to lead me into my next question, because if we are objective, we still have to talk about it. I want to see more passing concepts this week.
As opposed to the option read concepts
like
of last week.
The screens behind the line of scrimmage. I want to actually see 7 to 10 yard outs. I want to see a double slant across the middle with Sadler and Devin kind of staggered. I want to see, a stick and move with Jakeem up the middle. Things that have worked in the past, and just more passing concepts, not just trying to get our guys on a one-on-one matchup. But it didn't work at Oklahoma. It did not work at West Virginia. It doesn't seem to be something that we can always execute, and like you said, if it's not executing, we need something else. And I think that would be a good direction to go to. So that
go ahead. Sadler, he's starting to look a little bit healthier.
Yes,
we're
he's
starting
moving
to use him in a little bit more. He's being targeted a few more times by Pat, and I think that's going to be one of the biggest things that we can do, is start to get the two of them going again. They had a good start to the season, and then that injury really delayed their growth together. But I want to see, like you said, a lot of vertical passing instead of horizontal. I don't want to see those plays that result in a negative 5 yard loss. I would rather throw the ball on a slant and connect for 8 yards and get tackled right away.
Yes.
Than throw a screen to 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and get tackled at the line. gaining 5 yards.
With the small percentage that it turns into a big gain. I think we've seen in the past that our receivers are good enough to do that, but the game film is out now, and a lot of them are jumping those plays, especially the defensive backs, quite a bit. I've got two more talking points, and I say this next one because if we're objective, we still have to talk about it, no matter how much we may not want to.
Oh.
You know, there's how much of a leash does Mahomes have this game, knowing that bowl eligibility may be on the line, knowing that you don't necessarily want bowl eligibility to be placed on a game in Austin on the last game of the season. Knowing that he has had turnover issues in the last 4 to 5 games. And we've talked about it the last couple weeks, about just kind of giving a different look, maybe for a series, maybe two. But we've also said it doesn't look like Kingsbury is remotely interested at all in doing that. But is there a leash at all on Mahomes?
I hope there is.
Because we both said we wouldn't mind even seeing Webb start this game, just to shake it up for a couple series and then bring Mahomes in. Whatever. We know that's probably not going to happen. So is there a leash on Mahomes?
I really hope so. Because, like you said, bowl eligibility probably will hinge on this game. It's too many losses in a row to go and try and get win number 6. Down in Austin on Thanksgiving night, especially if they manage to beat West Virginia this week, which, like Kansas State, you never know which UT team shows up.
Yeah.
Because if they beat West Virginia, the only game other than us they have is Baylor. So if we don't win against Kansas State, then that game Thanksgiving night will probably be for a bowl game.
Yes.
Win or go home kind of mentality. But as far as Mahomes and Webb go, I want to see Mahomes do well. I've been a huge fan of his ever since he came in. I even do some work every once in a while down in his old hometown of White House. And I want to see him do well. But if he's struggling like he has in the past few weeks, I think you've got to take him out of there for a series or two. And see what Webb can do, see if he can just ignite that offense a little bit, especially if you've got a bunch of drop balls. Maybe let Pat look at the mechanics, try and get things fixed a little bit in game. And if it's bad enough and we have to keep Webb in there the whole time, that's perfectly fine because he is a good quarterback. It's not like he's a scrub. He's not a Brandon Whedon. He can actually throw the ball. He wants to throw the ball.
Yeah.
He won't quit on you like other quarterbacks have done.
Especially against K-State with a very ironic never quit on the back of their jersey.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was that was just Twilight Zone how that went.
So, I don't know if he will, though, if he will have that leash. Because like you said, Cliff has – really not shown any inkling at all that Webb is going to come in other than that halftime of that OU game, and that amounted to nothing.
I completely misread that because everything for body language and how it was going looked like it was going to go in that direction. But and here's my kind of my before we get to predictions, this is my last thing to all Red Raider fans. I got blasted because I said Mahomes is a fan favorite and nobody could see Webb and Mahomes as objective two pieces to the same puzzle. And they're not, you know, it's not one or the other. It's both. It's whoever helps us win, in any given day. You see some very unselfish play out of OSU right now. And they're the number 5 team in the country.
Mm-hmm.
With what they're being asked to do, and it's an unselfish move. And I'm not saying that we should go to a dual quarterback system. I'm not saying that giving Webb a series or two when we're not moving the football at all is going to create a quarterback controversy. I'm just saying we need to have, especially with this option, another weapon that not only changes the offensive structure of how everybody gets fired up and maybe it likes to spark like we've been talking about, but the play calling is different. You have to accommodate the play calling to Davis Webb's strength, which is throwing the ball down the field, because he's not going to pull it down and try to scamper for a 20-yard pickup on his own if his first or second read isn't there. He's going to dump it off in the flat. He is going to get it to his safety valve. So they both have their strengths and they both have their weaknesses, but it's not one or the other. And I'm tired of hearing at any point of this mentioned, and even when it's not mentioned, they already know it's coming up, if Webb was in there against West Virginia, we would have lost by 4 touchdowns.
Right.
And I'm like, everything that happened to Webb last year, drop passes, bad O-line play, you know, getting him sacked and getting his ankle fractured and all that other stuff. Trying to do too much because the defense is struggling and he's trying to put the team on his back and he's throwing an interception. Everything that y'all hated about Webb last year has shown up in Mahomes this year, and instead of putting the emphasis on Mahomes' play like you did with Webb, y'all are blaming everybody else. And it can't have it both ways. It is what it is. You have this other weapon. I want to see a small leash. I want to see if our first 3 or 4 series, we go 3 and out or have trouble moving the ball for some reason. I want to see Webb come in and just try to ignite the offense. The worst thing happens, you put Mahomes back in.
Right.
I mean, if he goes down and scores a touchdown and it makes it look easy, put Mahomes back in. It's like, hey, you saw that. You know, Webb saw something different there. See how they're attacking you. See how they're trying to attack Webb. Look for this the next time you go out. Just change it up a little bit. I think I'm going to get off my soapbox. Anyway, prediction time. I'm going to have to edit that out. That's way too long.
No, that was good. People need to hear that.
Prediction time. This Kansas State team is a lot like West Virginia. They are 0-for in conference play. They have 4 games remaining. If they lose this, they have to win out for bowl eligibility. They are coming to Texas Tech. It is a Bill Snyder team. It is not at night. How does this go down?
I've got 2 things entering my mind. My optimistic self, and then
let's hear them both.
Optimism, I'm going to say 49-24.
What happened to 78-10 or whatever you said?
That would have been if it had been at night.
Okay. So 48-24 you said?
49-24.
Oh, 49-24. Okay.
And that's just things click. And if everything clicks, we'll score more than 49. We may score 49 in the first half if things are clicking correctly. But I do think that Kansas State is going to be able to slow us down a little bit. They're going to cause some punts, maybe even a couple turnovers if we're not careful. But the defense is going to need to hold their own. And if they hold their own like they have the past few games and our offense plays well enough, then I think we can win. So I'm going to go with the realism pick of 39-31.
Which way?
Tech.
Tech wins that one? Okay. So Tech both win. Ways, no matter how, it's just the margin of victory.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to kind of do the same thing you did. I'm going to have my preseason prediction, and then I'll go with what I'm feeling for team optimism. In my preseason prediction, I picked Kansas State to just run away with this one.
Okay.
41-24. I was just looking at the schedule and said, all right, this is our last game before a pseudo bye next week before the Texas game, and we're just looking exhausted and we look tired, and just the bye weeks are catching up with us. The same thing we've been saying the last couple games. So yeah, but my record at this point was supposed to be 8-3, so a little off there. But I'm gonna say Tech wins this. It's gonna be a little bit lower score. It's gonna be 45-31.
Okay.
Tech, I think. And I think it's really close at halftime, and I think it's something that we're gonna see. Like we've seen all year, is the defense comes out in the second half and gets the stops we need. And for the first time in a while, the offense actually capitalizes.
Good. I like that.
So there you have it. Wins all the way around, sending these seniors out on the right foot. So anyway, Jonathan, I thank you for your time. I hope
you're
talk
very
to
welcome
you very soon, and you don't take a break, because otherwise it may just be me talking to myself.
We'll see how things go this weekend.
Yeah. Okay. Is it going to be like that?
It just might have to be.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and everybody enjoy the game, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you next time.
Recommend.